most intriguing aspect of the legalization of sports betting, because now it's getting in all these different states, right? And you're going to have all these new bettors, these novice bettors who bet with their hearts, bet with emotion instead of with their head. That's what separates the pros and the Joes. It's a different generation of people looking at this thinking, betting, bookies, behind the scenes, black market type of thing. I don't trust that. So it's still a little bit taboo in the sense, but you're right. I mean, if I tried to get into it, say even now, a year later, I don't think I'd have the same opportunities.
Welcome back in to VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The show is Rush Hour. We are live here at the Bet River Sportsbook. I'm Dana Burke, your host. Big thanks to Rob Doster for talking some college hoops last segment, but let's go professionally now and talk some NBA post All-Star break. At least we have a couple games to look forward to, but tomorrow and Friday, big slates in the association, which will be...
The goal is to do something that you love doing, and I've certainly found it, so it doesn't feel like a chore to me to get ready for the day or ready for the work day. I mean, I'm ready to get up out of bed and look at these slate of games, because not only am I excited to talk about it on the show, but I'm doing it personally because I want to find out which games I want to bet also. So it goes hand in hand. That's the biggest thing. I want to build as big a following as I can. I mean, I'm very competitive like that from playing sports myself. And when I'm putting these bets down, like, it sucks. I feel awful when I have losers. Like, that's inevitable, but you have to shut up and move on about it because there's going to be a new slate the next day. So it's just being competitive, not only within myself and these bets, but against the whole industry.
Danny Burke is the host of Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, or, as they like to say, the Sports Betting Network. And he is, I hope, a proud alum of the University of Nebraska-Lincoln. And he's with us on Watch the Media. Danny, how are you doing?
I am doing excellent. Thanks for having me on again. And of course, I'm a proud alumni, but it's kind of tough when I'm talking about, you know, these college games, and Nebraska just keeps getting a lot of love from the public as they naturally do. And then it never comes to fruition in the W column. But I try to hold strong and represent.
When you say gets a lot of love from the public, you mean betting love from the public?
Pretty much, because it's, you know, Nebraska still naturally lives in the glory days of the 90s, right? And that's the reputation that precedes them up until recently, where, you know, everybody has high expectations preseason for them. And then it comes through and they're like, once again, we got our hopes up for Nebraska. And, you know, they're middle of the pack. Once again, you know, Scott Frost hasn't turned it around. So it's tough sometimes to defend them, but at some point you just got to sit there and realize, be like, hey, I've been through this. I know where my expectations are. You can't expect them to return to glory that soon. So we're hoping we'll get there, but we'll see if they could turn it around soon enough.
Isn't there supposed to be some relationship between quality of team and the amount of money that's bet on it? Or is that not true?
No, 100%. That's exactly what it is. It's that, but then you also have to mix in the fandom and emotion, which, you know, every Nebraska fan is going to probably bet Nebraska day in and day out. And I think in a sense, it's kind of like the vibe that I would compare them to is like the Dallas Cowboys of the NFL, right? I mean, they haven't had glory since the 90s too, really, yet they're still classified as America's team, and the public is still always going to be on them just because of how big of a figure they are. I'm not saying Nebraska is necessarily up to that in college, but in a relative sense, I think they're small, they're, you know, kind of grouped like that, at least in the Midwest, or for people, you know, around the Big 12 too, who are familiar with the Cornhuskers.
So then does a sports book make a lot of money on a program like Nebraska that has fans who will bet on the team no matter what the point spread is, mm-hmm. no matter who they're playing, they'll just take them?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's really the most intriguing aspect of the legalization of sports betting, because now it's getting in all these different states, right? And you're going to have all these new bettors, these novice bettors who bet with their hearts, bet with emotion instead of with their head. That's what separates the pros and the Joes. You're going to have to be willing to bet against your own team sometimes and not always bet on them, even if you want to root for them. And that's one of the hardest things, you know, maybe not the hardest things, but it's kind of one of the parts of it that stink, because, you know, I grew up a diehard Cubs fan, right? I mean, all Chicago sports fan. And this past season, I was probably fading the Bears a majority of the weeks if I was going to be betting at a game they were involved with. Same things with the Cubs. I mean, look, they got eliminated right away in the postseason by the Marlins, who barely found their way in there because, you know, their offense is so inconsistent. So in a state like Illinois, which we're in right now, they're going to make a lot of money if the Cubs or the White Sox lose, right? Because pretty much everybody in a majority of their handle is going to be on those hometown teams because that's who they want to bet on. That's who they want to watch. So for a team like Nebraska, just because they're typically a big public team all throughout the country, yeah, I'm sure they make a good dime on them, but you know, it's not going to be as a severe of an impact until it gets legalized in Nebraska or even Iowa where it's legalized. I'm sure a lot of Nebraskans, you know, cross the border and place their bets on the Huskers there too.
All right. Before we, go back and talk a little bit about what you do at VSiN and all of the other jobs you have. How did you get to be an expert in sports betting and sports gambling? What's the genesis of that?
Really, I think it stemmed from just my childhood, I guess. I mean, my friends and I were always gambling growing up. It wasn't necessarily sports betting. I guess it started out with poker, you know, Texas Hold'em, and, you know, just playing for cheap $5 buy-ins because we really didn't have any money, certainly growing up, unless for the chores we were doing or the odd job. So with what little money we would have, a lot of times we'd just be dumb enough to gamble it against each other in any kind of capacity. So naturally, you know, pun intended, that parlayed itself into me having an admiration for sports betting. But more importantly, I mean, I grew up a diehard sports fan, and I always knew since day one that I wanted to do sports broadcasting, whether it be play-by-play, sports talk radio, whatever it may be. And that was still the goal pretty much up until, you know, my senior year of college, honestly. I mean, even a little bit later, because there's nothing at the school that, you know, enticed sports gambling involved with the broadcasting program. But doing all the broadcasting classes and practice runs before that certainly got me ready for where I am now. I mean, there's no doubt about that. The way the betting angle got tied into it is that on the show Hail Varsity Radio that I was a co-host and producer with Chris Schmidt, we would have a gambling segment called the Friday Forecast once a week. And that's where we'd go over the bets for whether it was college football, NFL, college basketball. And I started really being infatuated with that segment and liking it a lot because I started betting and I wanted to talk about it more so than just a game straight up. Instead of watching these games and doing it for the love of it, hey, you can actually make some money off of this and profit off of it too. So why not kill the two birds with one stone and try to do both? So that's what really made me fond of it too, because I was so familiar with it and I knew people were doing it. So I'm like, why can't I make a dollar off of this too? I'm so close to these teams. I know I have a strong feel of who's going to win and, you know, who's going to cover the spread, how many points are going to be scored. Like, I want to get involved with this and learn more about it. So I just fell in love with it, as I naturally have with anything involving betting on my confidence and what I think on something. So then when we started doing that segment, we kind of started expanding it a little bit. I started writing about betting on certain teams for the website a couple times a week for some NFL games. And then I visited Vegas because my sister had lived out there. And naturally, I fell in love with everything that Sin City had to offer. And I had made a connection out there with a local radio guy, exchanging emails back and forth, and figured, hey, the Golden Knights just got there. Their first year, they were a success. The Raiders were coming to town. I think there's some good opportunity out there in Las Vegas. So went out on a whim and without a job, and was very fortunate to meet some connections and work my way up to where I am now with VSiN, which is, of course, the Sports Betting Network. So kind of fell right in line.
Danny Burke is a host of Rush Hour on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm John Schrader. So you still play sports betting and you talk about it on the radio. How do you split that in your brain about what you have your money on and what you're talking about?
Yeah. So basically the way that it's done on air, I mean, I'm not going to give out any bets on my show that I'm not personally going to make. Like, I'm not just throwing stuff out there unless I myself am putting some money on it, because I want to put literally my money where my mouth is. And that's what the viewers, I assume, expect of me. I wouldn't want to be listening to another show where someone's just saying they're going to bet this or do this, but not actually committing those actions. So whatever I say on the show is 100% legit in what I'm going to be betting myself. So we go over a lot of the games. It's not just the games that I'm going to be betting per se. I'm still going to give a preview of all the other matchups or maybe other unique bets you can do, like player props, team props, first half bets, all these different made options that are becoming new because of sports betting being expanding throughout the country. All these different unique ways to bet are being made. So I like to give the audience a different perspective than some of the other shows. That's how I'm trying to separate myself. So even if I don't have a bet, personally on something, I still want to give the stats out, the information, the trends that could give, you know, this better, more of an understanding of, okay, if they were 50-50, I'm going to listen to Danny and he gave me out these numbers and where he's kind of leaning. Okay, that's pushing me to having more conviction. And now I'm going to pull the trigger and place that bet. So it's nothing that I really separate. Whatever you see is going to be 100% transparent from myself and the show. And that's what I think viewers appreciate the most, is just that honesty and transparency.
Okay, so you have to separate yourself from the other shows. What is it about your content and your style that you believe separates you from the other folks and gets people to listen to you for an hour every day?
So a majority of our shows on the network are at least 2 hours. There's maybe one other show that's 1 hour like mine. And the premise of my show being Rush Hour is you're stuck in Rush Hour, you know, because it's 6 to 7 p.m. Central time. So you're listening, you want to get those final bets in before the games get off, because a lot of these games are starting at 6 p.m. Central time, 6:30, 7 and beyond. So it's kind of that, you know, the mad money in a sense with Kramer. I mean, you just dishing it out like, okay, here's where the line opened, here's where it's about to close. Like, you should get this bet in at this point because so-and-so is happening. So for the first 5 minutes before we do a hard reset, a lot of those games are starting at six. Realistically, it's about five after, 10 after. They say six, but you know how all the introductions go with everything. So it's still giving you the final opportunity to get those bets in and that final information, injury updates, whatever it may be.
The pregame rushes we typically do, where we get you up to speed with the games about to get underway, where some of those closing lines may be. And we'll start in hockey because there's a pretty significant game about to drop the puck at center ice. In Minnesota, the Wild taking on the Vegas Golden Knights, and BGK, Minnesota Wild, to pick them right now, -108 each direction at Bet Rivers. Total we see at 5.5, over is a slight dog, +114. Under 5.5 is the favorite, -134. Now, Minnesota did just beat the Golden Knights on Monday, 2-0. So they shut them out, but no Mark Stone and no Pietrangelo in that game for the Golden Knights. Now, it looks like Stone should be available in this matchup, but if you remember, we were winners the two games the week prior when both of those were at T-Mobile Arena with BGK against Minnesota. But look, Vegas just hasn't fared well on the road against the Wild, and the price has come down in favor of Minnesota.
And then we get into the show. So when we do that, it's mainly focusing on whatever sport it is, hockey, college basketball, NBA, NFL, college football, whatever it may be, and more of the up-to-date info, because the other shows during the NFL season can focus their whole program based on what's going to happen on Saturday and Sunday, right? But the premise for my show is to get you prepared for that day solely. Now, that's not to say we're not going to also preview the weekend, Saturday and Sunday, but that's not going to be our main focus because every other show does that. So we're trying to be unique in ourselves, because not only are we going to focus solely on the events at that certain time at night, but instead of your straight up bets being spread, money line, total, I also want to explore the other options, like the first half betting opportunities, where we have a segment called My Better Half, and you spell it B-E-T-T-O-R, you know, with the play on of it. So we'll look at those first half lines that the other shows really aren't going to focus on as much, and then look at these player props. And we have a segment called Prop Shelf, and that's been probably our most favorable and profitable segment, where we look at these player props throughout the NBA and NFL have been the top two sports to do it with. So other shows will hit that, but certainly not as much and consistently as our program. So when someone who wants to bet a different angle, like those props or first half, I want them to think, oh, okay, you know, I'll go to Rush Hour and watch that instead, because I know these other shows might briefly touch on it, but this is specifically what he's going to hit on most days of the week. And it just gives you a different perspective to bet in a lot of areas that are arguably more profitable, because the books are solely going to be focused on the three most popular ones: spread, total, and money line. So you want as much of an advantage as you can get as a bettor over the book, which, as we know, the house always wins unless you're in the 1%. And how does the 1% profit? They look at these unique angles that your average bettor isn't even going to consider. So if I can offer that perspective during the show, I think I'm doing my job pretty well in separating myself from the rest of the programs on the network.
Okay, Danny, you're going to have to teach me a little bit because I don't do this now. The most important things are spread, total, and money line. Give me a little bit of an idea of the distinction of those three things.
So money line is just straight up winner. Like, who's going to win the game at the end? And sometimes it can be good because you don't have to worry about the spread, and spread's the amount they have to win by. So let's take a Bulls game, for example, going against the 76ers. Chicago is laying 4 points on the spread. That means they have to win by more than 4 points for you to win your bet. If they win by four exactly, that's a push, aka a tie, and you get your money back. So you would need the Bulls to win by 5 points or more for you to win that bet. But say, the NBA, it's so volatile, it's so tricky at the end of the games with all the free throws, and you don't trust the defense in the last 30 seconds. I'd rather play money line. But the trick is the money line has higher odds because all they have to do is win straight up instead of covering that 4 point spread. So you can do the money line. They're just going to make you pay more for it. So instead of a minus 110, which is your standard vigorish, which is, you know, the tax you're going to have to pay a little bit on each bet, instead of it being even money straight up, you have to pay, say, 110 to win 100, because minus 110 is the standard odds for spreads. So money line then, because if it's a 4 point spread, maybe they'll put it at, you know, minus 160, being you have to pay 160 to win 100 instead of your 110 to win 100. But again, you're paying to have more security, more insurance. So all they have to do is win straight up as opposed to covering the 4 point spread. So sometimes I'm willing to pay a little bit more because of just how crazy the NBA is specifically, especially at the end of games. I mean, everybody knows about bad beats, and it probably doesn't happen more often than it does in the NBA. And I've had my fair share. So that's why I'm willing to take a little bit more tax to have that security. And then just for total, is total amount of the points scored in the game. So you can do it for the first half, say it's at 110 in an NBA game for the first half, and then the full game, it can be at 220. So then you're just betting over under. Is it going to be more than 220 points scored or less than 220 points scored? And those are the three main betting options for any given sport.
So the student becomes teacher. Thank you, Danny Burke of VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, teaching me a little bit about sports betting. I'm John Schrader. Do you feel like maybe the timing for you in this was perfect? It wasn't long ago that the U.S. Supreme Court said states may enact sports betting laws, and you get into this business just about the time it starts exploding.
100%, John. Yeah, I couldn't be more adamant about that and just reiterate that more than I could. I mean, like you said, it's a new thing here still. It's still relatively taboo if you ask your average person. And honestly, what's kind of funny, you know, I'll even talk to my parents about it. It's not that they're not accepting about it, but I'll make a joke and be like, oh, you know, playing with the stock market is virtually the same as betting on sports. I mean, you're still gambling. Nobody knows for sure, except in my mind, you can give yourself a little bit more of an advantage when it comes to sports betting. But again, you know, it's a different generation of people looking at this thinking, betting, bookies, behind the scenes, black market type of thing. Yeah, I don't trust that. So it's still a little bit taboo in the sense. But you're right. I mean, if I try to get into it, say, even now, a year later, I don't think I'd have the same opportunities, because in the company that I am with, VSiN, they started in 2017. And I started, I think I joined, what was it, 2019, May of 2019, I believe is when it was. And I didn't start right away as a host. You know, I worked my way up doing social media, then producing, then getting the on-air opportunities and getting into the consistent on-air gig. But if I join the company now that we're bigger and expanding, because so is sports betting, I certainly would not be in the same position. So no, it was really kismet in the sense that I fell into line right as everything was expanding. And, you know, like you guys always teach us at the J School, I mean, you got to be willing to take any opportunity, say yes to everything, even if it's late night, even if it's weekends. That's how it is in the business, specifically with sports journalism too. And that's exactly what I did. And I was very fortunate that it led me to where I am now.
So it's no secret, founder of VSiN is Brent Musburger, the longtime sports broadcaster and sports journalist before that. How much contact do you have with him? How much relationship are you built with him?
It's actually pretty funny. I literally just had him on my show the other night. We were talking about the quarterback market, specifically in Chicago, if there's any validity to Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson, that they would come to Chicago. I'm not getting my hopes up, but you know how normal Bears fans are. They're going to run with any new story they hear. But with Brent, it's actually funny. So Brent's probably one of the top 2-3 broadcasters that I idolized growing up. I remember talking with Chris Schmidt one time before I even left for Vegas. And I was like, you know, if I could just sit back and have a drink with one broadcaster just to pick his brain, I think it would be Brent Musburger. And I had known about VSiN at the time, and that was a company that I certainly had interest in working for. So when I first got there, he usually took off after the Kentucky Derby and didn't bother staying around for baseball season because, you know, no need to. I mean, he's a legend. He doesn't have to stick around and do that stuff. I mean, right now he's the voice of the Raiders and does host from time to time with us at VSiN, but you know, he has about like two different spots he'll hang out with. Also, you don't want to be in the summer in Nevada if you don't have to, when it's 110, 120 degrees. So he'd skip town for a little bit and I'd do the exact same thing. So I like briefly met him, or I saw him. I didn't get the chance to meet him. And then when football season was coming around, he came back. I introduced myself. It was a brief conversation, you know, whatever. And sometimes I think I would have my show before his in the lineup. And then another time I was producing for a show after his, and you know, the host and I would joke, be like, oh yeah, Brent Musburger's our lead in. And we'd always run with that bit and just joke about it. But before I finally really got in with Brent, it's kind of a funny story because we have an issue called Point Spread Weekly, which is just a weekly sports betting guide that gives you all these tips, trends, stats, whatever you can name that will give you this advantage for betting on the upcoming week, weekend, et cetera. A lot of different contributors from hosts, guests, analysts, all these different people. So when it was coming around to the college football championship game, we all put in our bets and our thoughts on the game. And it was LSU and Clemson when Joe Burrow was a quarterback and LSU won. Now, a lot of the sharper bettors, I guess you could say, the sharper money was on Clemson here because naturally the public all over Joe Burrow and how great of a season LSU and that offense had historically. And I guess it was Brent, the sportsbook director over at the Golden Nugget, and myself were the only three who bet on LSU out of, I don't know how many people, maybe 15 to 20 people. So the next day after they win, I'm getting prepared for the show in the studio. We have a little bit of off time in between programs. And he walks in, he's like, hey, are you Burke? Are you Berkey? Danny Burke? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he looks at me, he goes, nice call with LSU last night. I was like, thanks. He's like, yeah, you know, you, me, and Tony Miller were the only ones who had it. And I was like, oh yeah, like, no, that was great. And we just started talking about the game. And, you know, from that point on, because he saw that, I guess I had won, you know, I'd gotten the recognition of it, or, you know, shown that I had the right bet as him and kind of proved my worth in a sense. Now I was in with him. It's not like that he was ignoring me before and I was trying to talk with him and he was just rude and not remembering me. It was just, I hadn't necessarily made an effort because I was like, this guy's a legend. I said my hello, but I don't really know, I guess, how else to, I don't want to annoy him and keep talking with him. He's a busy guy. So after that point, then he remembered me and would come in like every other day and just come up and be like, hey, Danny, what games do you like today? And would ask my advice, my thoughts on games. So from that point in, I kind of made my way with Brent and he would remember me. And, you know, that was the coolest thing from my perspective. I'm like, you know, 3 months ago, maybe more than that, but like 6 months ago, I was just wishing to meet this guy. Now he knows my name and he's asking me my advice and recommendations on sports games. Like, that was the coolest thing. And same thing happened with the Super Bowl. And I was on the Chiefs and I think he ended up switching to the 49ers, but he would just keep asking me about it. And again, he's like, hey, nice call with the Chiefs. Then I started having him on my show, Bet on Chicago, to talk about the draft last year. And then he's been on my show, Rush Hour, a few times. And it's an absolute blast when I get to talk to him because he's just such a joyful, cheerful guy. And he makes funny comments too. And he's a Chicago guy himself. I mean, he went to Northwestern, he knows the area. So I love the fact that I have a pretty good relationship with him now. And it's honestly a dream come true.
Wrapping up a Wednesday edition of Rush Hour here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Danny Burke live here just outside of Chicago and Des Plaines, Illinois, to be exact, at the Bet River Sportsbook. And a man that's familiar with the Chicagoland area himself, Brent Musburger, the legendary broadcaster, VSiN host, and voice of the Raiders. Brent, thanks for hopping on. How's the NFL offseason been treating you? So, Brent, another reason Chicago fans are excited, whether it actually has any validity to it, is because of the Chicago Bears and this quarterback market. So I gotta ask you about Russell Wilson here, because the odds naturally have been posted at books for him to stay at Seattle is certainly the favorite, -$5. But then come the Bears at 3-1, the Jets at 7-1, your Raiders at 10-1, then the list goes on. I mean, what in your mind is going to end up happening with Russell Wilson? Any chance he actually departs from Seattle?
Well, I think there's always a chance. I think there's a greater chance that Deshaun Watson leaves Houston.
Well, if he's taking your betting advice, it sounds like maybe he's making money twice from you. He's getting the money off the show you produce and host, and also taking some advice on which teams he should put his money on. So there you go.
That's right. Hey, that's the plan.
That's right. Danny Burke is the host of Rush Hour, 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And you can see it and you can hear it. And maybe you can tell us how you do that.
Yeah, so we're on a lot of different outlets as of now. So the main ways, if you go to VSiN.com or download the VSiN app, you can sign up and get the stream on there, either audio or video. Also, we're on Fubo TV, Sling TV, the Xfinity app, if you save VSiN into your remote. And then the Marquee Sports Network, which is exclusive to the Cubs. So during the regular season, all the Cubs games will be on the Marquee Sports Network. And we have a time slot on there now, too. Now, we're not necessarily always on there. If there's a live sporting event, that'll take precedent. But about 2 or 3 days out of the week, our show will be on there. Plus, we just transitioned from SiriusXM to iHeartRadio, so it's available even more so on different platforms. But that's pretty much the main ways you can get a hold of the show.
So about 6 months ago, maybe a little longer than that, you left Vegas and went back home to Chicago, and now you work in the, let me get this right, the Bet Rivers Sportsbook in the Rivers Casino in Des Plaines, Illinois, which is very near, if not a stone's throw, from Chicago. What was the idea there of moving back, moving the show or moving yourself to Chicago? And what do you get out of that? And what does the company get out of it from a marketing standpoint? I assume there's something in it for them as well.
Absolutely. I mean, just like we've alluded to already, the legalization of sports betting and how it keeps expanding is just such a big cash cow, right? I mean, sports betting is already in itself, and especially in a huge market like the Chicagoland area. So I kind of branded myself in a sense as a Chicago guy when I went out to Vegas. There's a lot of people higher up in the company because, like we talked about with Brent Musburger, the Musburgers, you know, they're Chicago bred too. So me going in there, I already kind of had the nice in saying I was a Chicago kid myself. And then I started doing my show Bet on Chicago, which was a weekly radio program that would come out on air here on WLS AM 890 on Saturday night, 7 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And so with that being said, I mean, they wanted to expand because we already had a guy out in the East Coast for New Jersey, which was about the second market to get going. And then the second biggest at the time, you know, right next to New York, obviously. And then we have a guy in Michigan now, in Colorado, and then me in Chicago. So the goal is to keep expanding, really, and to do it in those big markets. So Chicago certainly is one of them. And since I branded myself that way, they figured, hey, we have a partnership with these books. They're getting their book ramped up. Why not get a show broadcasted live out of that sports book? So it kind of went hand in hand, and me already being that guy, having the on-air experience, the ties to back home, the partnership, and it all just landed the opportunity to go back home and do that. So, I mean, obviously when the opportunity was presented to me, I jumped up right away and said, yeah, 100%, I want to do that, because it's always been my goal to be back in Chicago to talk sports broadcasting in any capacity. So it's been amazing. It's been a lot of fun, and I hope we can continue to do it.
So you then are on the radio and you're on television, then you have a live audience that you play in front of in the sports book then too, right?
Yeah, so that's always the interesting part of it, right? Because we're not necessarily sealed off like we are in Vegas, where we're in a big, you know, glass studio, right? Like here, we're kind of just, we're like in the corner of it. We have a little bit of a setup and some plexiglass and whatnot, but it's not necessarily sealed off with the door by any means. So we'll get people coming up, which is awesome, and they'll talk to us. We have our regulars say what's up, ask us our picks, and we throw it back to them too. But then sometimes during the show, we'll get a lot of people who, you know, ignore the on-air sign and will be like, hey, is this where I come and place my bets? And the producer will have to shake them off and be like, no, it's across the other way. So that's always the exciting part, as you know very well, of a live television, I guess you could say, is getting the people next to you to having to stay steady on the camera and focus. So it adds a little bit of adversity, but it's all good and fun. I mean, nothing ever bad or serious has ever happened from it. It's just playful. So that's the other angle of it too, which is fun.
Yeah, it's not just having to play to the camera and to the microphone, but you have to focus on what you're talking about as well. And some of that stuff can be a little distracting from what you're trying to keep your mind set on. And you don't ever want to lose your focus, especially when you have 60 minutes. You got to get it all in 60 minutes. Boom. Right.
Exactly. And not only that, I mean, all the TVs are going, right? I mean, there's dozens of TVs with the games going on. So you get the audio of the crowd cheering of the TV itself, and you can't really just ignore it. You got to acknowledge it. You say, yeah, that's everybody going crazy because so-and-so happened, because we are at the Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Because that's the thing. I mean, you're really enticing the audience to want to get down there and be part of that crowd and be in that environment. So that's the fun part about it too. And especially with March Madness right around the corner, it's going to be vamped up even more, which makes it all the more fun.
It wasn't that long ago that Danny Burke was a student at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, and he was working on Hail Varsity Radio, and he was talking a little bit about sports betting. And here he is now working in his hometown in Chicago as the host of Rush Hour on VSiN, the sports betting network. Now, I expect there may be some visions of grandeur here. Now, I'm going to bring up a name that Jeopardy fans are all very familiar with.
4,400 off the one-day record, James.
Okay, I'll try.
And how much did you risk? 38,314, a new one-day record.
11,914 is when my daughter was born.
110,914. Is it too soon to start thinking about Ken Jennings comparisons?
A guy named James Holzhauer, who made lots and lots of money on Jeopardy, but is a sports gambler. That is his job. Mm-hmm. He was introduced, I don't know how many times he was on, but he made a lot of money and became famous worldwide as a sports gambler. What has that kind of exposure from a guy like him done for your business?
So the funny thing about James is I know he's a Chicago guy too. He's a big Cubs fan and he lives out in Vegas. He was on our show, I think once, kind of like right after the big Jeopardy run. And you're right. I mean, you know, we just talked about sports betting still being taboo to some people. And a lot of those people, I'm sure, who are big fans of Jeopardy see this and go, wow, this guy's he's a professional gambler and he's able to make enough money and he's dominating in Jeopardy. Like, he knows a lot of stuff outside of sports. I think it did tremendous things for the whole community in itself. I mean, again, it's those average people who the books want to be the clientele, mostly because, you know, they're not going to be winning bettors in the long run. It's very hard to do that. It's 1% who can do it professionally. But it entices other people to get involved and think, wow, this guy's, you know, a pretty stand-up citizen. I mean, look how much he's dominating in this intelligent game and he's very intellectual. So I think it kind of does bring a bright side to it. And you realize that these professionals who do it for a living have to be very, very smart people. It's not just, you know, your stereotypical scumbag, lazy guy, you know, throwing parlays together, all that. These are some of the smartest people because you're dealing with so many analytics. You're watching the market movements. And I mean, me, for example, I'm not saying I'm up there necessarily in that same realm, but you know, when I'm doing my work, I got probably like seven to 10 different tabs open, just looking at all this different information, whether it's historical data, the expectations of what's to come, trend stats, recent matchups with players, teams, all these different things. Plus you're having these sites that list all the different sports books lines, and you need to see where the markets are moving in them, like a stock market in a sense. So a guy like James, he does wonders for it because you realize how much deeper it really is. It's the very intellectual, thought-provoking people that are at the top of the industry.
So do you aspire to be on Jeopardy?
I don't know about that. I don't know if I could handle Jeopardy as much, because then I'd have to certainly expand my education outside of sports, which isn't necessarily in the playbook for now. But I mean, hey, if the opportunity presented itself and somehow I got there, I've definitely put in 110% to try to be.
Well, let me just tell you this. You better bone up on the Bible, geography, Shakespeare,
right,
pop culture, and about 100 other categories, and then you'll be prepared for it. So, hey, you talked to me a little bit off air about all the other things you're doing in Chicago. It's not just the 60 minutes you do 5 days a week. Run through that for us a little bit so we can understand how you've cobbled together half a dozen different jobs into a nice career.
Yeah, that's been the fun part about coming back to Chicago too and being part of VSiN, is that we have so many connections with different outlets, whether it be in journalism, broadcasting, that it's given me a chance to expand myself. And I guess my personal brand is what a lot of people call it nowadays. And that's been awesome. So like when I came back here, it was right before football season, and we got an opportunity because Rivers was, you know, Bet Rivers Sportsbook was partnered up with Fox. So local Chicago Fox station who do their Bears pregame show, they wanted to add a portion of it, a 15-minute segment called Props and Locks. Now this had already been debuted, I believe it was in Pennsylvania. I can't remember if it was Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, but some other local Fox stations throughout the country had done it. And they wanted to expand it to Chicago. So they're like, okay, who can we get to be the betting analyst? Since I was just getting there with Bet Rivers, they picked me for the job. So basically we had the whole remote setup, had the studio set up in my sister's bedroom because she had just, we just took all our stuff out and, you know, we were doing everything remote. So we had the big setup and whatnot and would wake up on Sunday mornings, get ready for the show, get ready for the games, check the final lines and do a quick 15-minute hit for the Bears pregame show, talking about not only the Bears game, but some of the other biggest games on the Sunday slate. So that was a blast to do it. Caitlin Sharkey, who works for Fox, does a great job as a sports reporter and covering the Bears and other sports. She was, you know, the co-host along with me, would team me up for those games. So I was doing that every Sunday. Also, I was writing for the New York Post for a little bit for some college football games. Basically, it was just a maybe 500-word write-up on a game or two, just giving my thoughts, analysis, and bets. I think that would be about once, maybe twice a week ordeal. And then also on the Marquee Sports Network, I'll hop on another show called The Stadium, which precedes my show, Rush Hour, and we'll do a quick gambling segment with them as well. And besides that, it's just – those are the main consistent ones. But then besides that, it's just – you know, random stations here and there that will get set up with just being a part of Beeson, whether, you know, during Super Bowl week, I was probably going on random outlets in Des Moines, Iowa, wherever else throughout the country, helping out other friends who are in the industry with their shows. So really just going all over the place. But the main ones were, you know, working with the Bears pregame show, New York Post, and then another show on the Marquee Sports Network.
And you still do a gratis weekly appearance with your friend Chris Schmidt, don't you? I don't know if it's gratis, but I assume it is. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Every Thursday we do a Burke's Best Bets is what he calls it. So yeah, always linking up with Schmitty still. And I'll have him on occasionally too. I mean, anytime we need a Big Ten cover for college football or college basketball, like the other day, I bring on Schmitty as well. So it's a nice connection we still have.
So what would you say to young people who want to be in the sports broadcasting business about your path and what they could do? It doesn't have to be gambling. It could be football. It could be cricket. It could be lacrosse. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really matter, whatever your passion is. What would you say to someone about how to approach their career and life with the experiences that you've had, even in a short career?
I think one of the biggest things, and it's not that I'm saying anything outlandish from what you guys have already told us at the J School, but you have to be willing to say yes to everything and anything, even if it's not specifically what you want to do. Again, I mean, I left Lincoln as a co-host and producer and maybe had the potential of getting my own show to go to Vegas where nothing was lined up and had to start exactly at the bottom with minimal connections. By happenstance, met a guy in the company I was at now who I was already trying to reach out to, who got me in there faster than I would have probably otherwise, if at all. So not only that, you have to take advantage of all your opportunities whenever they are present. I think you also kind of have to put your ego aside, put your hubris aside in a sense, because again, you know, I had to start down when I got the gig with VSiN at social media, then work my way up to producer and then to hosting. Then comes along the coronavirus and my show gets cut because we were 24/7, but they're only keeping the main ones. But I was fortunate enough that I wasn't the ones who got laid off. Okay, we want to keep you around, but look, you got to go back to social media. Now I could have sat there and pouted about it and be like, nah, I'm an on-air guy. Like I was just doing the show for 2 months, whatever. But no, you got to say, okay, suck it up. Yes, you have the hopes that this is going to get back to normal. You got to do what you started out doing at the beginning once again. I mean, that's a unique circumstance, but it's stuff like that. Like if you're coming from a smaller market, but you want to get into your specific niche or into a bigger market, they're not going to start you off at the top right away unless you have tons of experience. So you have to be willing to make the sacrifices and maybe do something you don't love as much for the time being to work your way up once again. So even if you're starting somewhere that's not where you want to go, it's going to get you more experience, more connections. And if you're still putting in the hard work and not pouting about it, people are inevitably going to recognize it. It may not seem like it, but people are watching regardless. And that'll get you to where you want to go. As long as you keep your head down, say yes to everything and keep working hard, it'll get you there.
And you've been able to work in an area that you're passionate about, and you've taken advantage of that passion and that knowledge, and you made yourself even more knowledgeable too. And that's another valuable lesson, I think, don't you?
100%. And that's what people have told me too. I mean, a bookmaker over at the Westgate Superbook, which was the biggest sports book in the world until a brand new one, Circa, who we're partners with too, created this phenomenal casino and sports book on Fremont Street. So if you're ever in Vegas, be sure to check it out. It's a great experience. But nevertheless, he's one of the sports book managers there. And he even told me, I mean, myself being a younger guy, because I'm the youngest host at the network, being 24 years old. And he's like, man, you're doing the right thing. I mean, you know, look at all these guys they're throwing on the bigger networks. They're throwing these TV personalities on there who don't truly understand the market. If you take the time to study what you're covering and know and show your viewers that you understand it, you're going to get praised for it. You're going to get recognized for it. And the audience will understand. They're not dumb. They can tell when a certain person goes on air to talk about sports betting and doesn't really know what they're actually talking about, because they could say, oh, I'm taking this team, but on the money line, and they could be minus 300 favorite, meaning you have to bet 300 to win 100. So they're a huge favorite. And you're like, yeah, obviously I would take them to win too. But at that point, that's when you factor in the spread, because, you know, otherwise you'd be betting favorites all that time. It's just something you don't do, right? I mean, like anybody could just pick, I don't know, take the worst team in whatever league against the best, and you would take the best team and be like, yeah, obviously I would say they were going to win too. So you really got to know what you're talking about in the market. And that's what he told me. I mean, like, that's what separates yourself. You're young, you have experience, and you actually know the whole industry. They can throw on random Joe Schmo who has TV experience, but he doesn't really know what he's talking about. And that shows the people who really love the industry and understand it, they can pick that out and they'll eat you alive for it on social media too. So you really got to know your audience and what you're covering. And obviously that goes even more so than just sports betting. That's how you excel and exceed in whatever you're covering in terms of journalism and broadcasting. Go the extra mile to understand it, study it, and learn it.
So where does the journalism part of this fit in what you do?
I guess I would say it fits in the sense where, you know, I've had my opportunities doing actual journalism, writing up post about it for the New York Post. But aside from that, on a daily basis, I guess it would be that when I'm personally doing my work, I mean, I'm doing the same research in a sense that I would be doing if I was writing a story, right? I mean, you know, I'm getting the background of it. I'm getting the historical data behind it. And pretty much I'm formulating what's expected to happen, which, you know, sometimes you would write, or you're giving your opinion on it, an op-ed piece when I'm giving my picks. That's basically what it is. And really just doing the due diligence of your research is the biggest part of it. Writing down all my notes, formulating it, and thinking of the best way, right? I mean, keep it simple, stupid, right? KISS, as we always like to say. So that, like, you have to be able to deliver that to your viewers in the same sense. It's not that me covering sports betting is different from any other industry, whether it be journalism or broadcasting. You have to deliver a message, especially in a short amount of time, 60 minutes, in a clear, concise way that's informative yet entertaining to the viewer. And I think that's where it's pretty similar between the two, regardless.
Is this what you envisioned when you left Chicago as an 18-year-old out of high school and left for Lincoln? Is this what you thought it would be like when you were 24 years old?
It's not what I thought it would be like. It's what I was hoping it would be like, though. That's for sure. I definitely didn't have aspirations at that time to be doing sports betting. It's not that I would have been opposed to it, but I wasn't as enthralled with the industry as I certainly am now, or was 3-4 years ago. But the goal was always to do sports broadcasting in any kind of capacity in the Chicagoland area. That was always my ultimate goal in life. But to think that it would come to fruition as early as 24 years old, I would have called you crazy, to be honest.
And I wouldn't call you crazy. What's next? What do you want to do next? What do you have on the horizon? What are you thinking?
Honestly, the way I take it right now, it's not as much of the long-term goals. I mean, I guess the long-term goal for me is just being as big as I can be within myself, within the show, and for the network. I kind of take it on a day-to-day basis for my goals, because that's really what the show is presented, right? I mean, people don't care what you did yesterday. What have you done for me lately? What are you going to do for me tonight? And in the sense of giving out winners, giving out these picks and good information. So, but I guess, you know, my goal is really just building the brand as big as possible, being as unique as possible, and consistent successfully in terms of picking these right sports. But, you know, from an actual broadcast and journalism perspective, I mean, you know, I just want to really keep expanding the show that I'm currently doing at VSiN. It's not that I necessarily have anything on the horizon where I want to go anywhere else to do it. Not that I would be opposed to it later on, but right now where I'm at, I'm pretty content. but not in the sense that I'm getting stuck in a rut, because you always got to keep moving. Otherwise you're going to get in this routine and that's what's going to kill you in this industry. So I'm always setting different goals for myself every day, whether it's building a larger audience, looking at different segments to include, and really just separating myself from the competition. That's the biggest thing. I want to build as big a following as I can. I mean, I'm very competitive like that from playing sports myself. And when I'm putting these bets down, like, it sucks. I feel awful when I have losers. Like, that's inevitable, but you have to shut up and move on about it, because there's going to be a new slate the next day. So it's just being competitive, not only within myself and these bets, but against the whole industry that's becoming more popularized right now because of the expansion of it. And everybody's trying to get a piece of it. And then I look at that and say, yeah, you don't really know what you're talking about, but somehow, you know, sometimes they get more recognition because they get brought onto a brand that's already bigger. So I want to take our brand to that and even beyond that, just to be as the best we can be and just keep giving out winners. I mean, that's my day-to-day goal.
So you talked a little bit earlier about people who are on television and have these big vehicles and they don't really know necessarily what they're talking about. When you see that, you say, wait a second, folks, I can do that. Well, you should have called me. I can do that. Is there part of you that says that?
Look, it's hard. It's definitely hard not to think that. I know everybody else at my company could say the same thing, but you know, those people have paid their dues too. It's not a disrespect thing, because they've certainly gone to that point where they've earned that right to be on there. But I don't know if they've necessarily earned the recognition to talk about sports betting specifically. And people who watch, again, they know that, they see that. And slowly other people at the industry themselves, at whatever big companies they are, they learn that too. So you see them kind of have these sublet of gambling shows within the big network where they finally get on these experts. But in some situations, they just don't get it. Like, you know, you're watching a nationally televised game and they'll either hide at talking about the spread, but Sunday Night Football, we know Al Michaels isn't afraid to discuss it a little bit too, but you can tell that Al knows what he's talking about. Monday Night Football is a little bit different conversation, because it's always a little bit hesitant when bringing it up. And if they do, it's not necessarily the right thing. So, and then that's not their job to per se, that's not the gambling focused shows, but other networks where they have a small segment on it, or even a bigger one, you can tell that they don't know really what they're hitting on. And that's not to say that they can't learn it and get to that point, but a lot of times they're bringing on these people because they already have a big following, or because, you know, maybe sometimes a lot of people just like watching them for whatever reasons it may be. I guess you can formulate what I'm getting to at that point, but you know, a lot of times that's what the case is, and they can work hard to get there. And a lot of people are, but I think they definitely need a little bit more experience to present some value in those segments.
What you do not want, Danny, is tens of millions of Americans being as expert about sports gambling as you are. True. Because then you would just be another person. You want to be a step ahead of everybody else and be on top of the game, right?
Absolutely. No, and that's the thing that we were kind of talking about, getting into this industry at the right moment where most people don't know the ins and outs of it and can't go into the stipulations and specifics of it. So if I can keep building what I have right now and get ahead of the game, ahead of the curve, that's the most successful thing I can do. And that would be my goal, as we were alluding to as well. So you're right. I mean, our goal is to inform and teach people about it, but at the same time, I'm doing that with myself on a daily basis. So even if they're going up, I'm still going up even more so and learning my knowledge and just kind of trying to spread it out to other people. But you know, the thing is too, a lot of people don't want to put in the time and effort to do it because they can't do it professionally. I mean, they have jobs to focus on, they're doing other careers. So that's why they tune into programs like VEASAN. So that's our job, to give you this information that we know you may not have the time to delve into yourself. So let me do the work and give it to you on an easy platform, and then you put in the bets yourself that you decide, and hopefully we give you winners along the way.
You alluded a little bit ago about your family and what you do. What do they think about what you do?
It's funny. So they're not like big gamblers by any means. I mean, they'll go out to Vegas and play your typical roulette, blackjack, craps and stuff like that, but nothing insane by any means. I mean, my mom's dad, my grandpa, he was a pretty big gambler in the sense that he would always be hitting the slot machines, any kind of table games and stuff. So my mom always jokes that that's where I got it from. But compare like me to them, it's night and day versus gambling. And they don't really do sports bets unless we were in Vegas and I would put down a bet for them or something like that. But they were never like, oh, are you sure you want to do this? Is that the angle you want to go? They understand completely, just like I do. You got to get your advantage and opportunity in any kind of way you can in this industry with broadcasting and journalism. And I mean, they're tuning into every single show and they give me unconditional support about it. So it's not like they feel weird about it or telling other people about it. They're all in for it. It's just, they don't do it themselves by any means because they don't feel the need to. They get their enough fix out of it from just listening to me.
I guarantee you that they wherever they are, they'll say, that's my boy. That's my boy, Danny. He's working in Chicago. Look what he's doing. Right. Isn't that a little bit, you get a little bit of that?
For sure. I mean, that's what my mom tells me at work. She's always recruiting other people to watch me, whether it was on the Bears pregame show doing the segment hit, and then just other people we know from family and friends. They'll always bring it up in passing. So, hey, any publicity is good publicity. And they're kind of my publicist in a sense. They'll tell everybody they know, which, you know, we'll take any way we can to expand that audience.
Well, I get the impression, Danny, you've worked pretty damn hard at this and you've dedicated yourself pretty deeply to this, right?
Oh, 100%. I mean, the goal is to do something that you love doing, and I've certainly found it. So it doesn't feel like a chore to me to get ready for the day or ready for the work day. I mean, I'm ready to get up out of bed and look at these slate of games, because not only am I excited to talk about it on the show, but I'm doing it personally because I want to find out which games I want to bet also. So it goes hand in hand with work and pleasure, and it's something that I love doing every day. So I never wake up dreading doing what I do. I honestly look forward to it, especially even if I have a losing day, because I know there's a better opportunity the next day to work even harder, learn from my mistakes, and keep improving. So that's the thing. It's not like you just hit a stop and you're good. It's something you can always try to strive to keep improving and keep improving, keep improving. That's why you don't get stuck in a rut in this industry.
Love to hear it. There he is, our man, Rob Dosser. Once again, at Rob Dosser is where you can follow him on Twitter. Best in the biz when it comes to college hoops. But we'll switch it up a little bit next when we return here on VSiN, because guess what, baby? The NBA is back. A couple of games tonight on the slate. And then we'll hit some hockey, some good games potentially to place a bet on. I mean, you know, it's been a little bit of a dry week in terms of hockey for me here on the show, but I think there could be some good angles.
This is a job that can consume you, though. What do you do to try and get away from it with all these numbers and all these games and all this stuff flying around in your head all the time? What do you do to try and get away from it?
So now that we're in the offseason for the NFL and college football, honestly, I kind of take the weekends off a little bit more. So now my show Bet on Chicago does go out on Saturday nights, but in terms for actual handicapping Saturday and Sunday, I kind of try to just remove myself a little bit. And that's not to say that I'm here complaining like, oh, I have so much work during the week, I need these 2 days, or I don't want to do it. It's more so that I think it's good to kind of reset your mind every now and then and not be so ingrained into your computer screen and just looking at these numbers every single day. It's more so, I guess, just a personal choice too. Like, I don't want to be, because if I'm doing research on the games, I have to go all in. I can't do something 50%. It has to be 100%. So I have to do the same routine, looking at all these trends, stats, and whatever it may be. So I know I can't just lazily handicap a game. It has to be all in. So I try to take myself out Saturdays and Sundays, and you know, my friends will text me asking for picks, be like, oh, who do we like today or tomorrow or whatever. Be like, ah, you know, I don't really bet on the weekends as much anymore because I'm so into it throughout the week that I kind of just want a couple days to just take it off and everything. But during the football season, of course, you can't do that. I mean, I'm fully in it 24/7. But, you know, time, and I know there's sometimes where I'll miss an opportunity because I don't handicap on Saturday and Sunday, but I'm at the position where I don't feel like I necessarily need to. And that's not to say that I won't, or and I'm not going to, but just right now, I think it's nice and just, you know, mentally a healthy thing to do, I guess, is just to remove yourself every day, because everybody needs to step away from their work life and kind of just let free for a little bit.
How long does it take you? How much work do you have to put in terms of hours to prep for a day's work? It's not just that 1 hour, but a day's work. How long does it take you to do that?
It really depends on the day and how busy the slate is, because sometimes you'll have a set of NBA games where there's like 10 to 12 of them from the time frame we start and beyond that, which we would cover. If they're earlier in the day, obviously it's already happened, so we wouldn't hit it. So say there's a big NBA, big NHL slate, big college basketball slate, it could take me a decent amount. I mean, typically my day starts at about anywhere from 8:30 to 9:30 a.m. and I'll start building the rundown. We already have the guest plan from the night or the day prior, whatever it may be, because we already want to have that established and have a general idea of what we're going to talk about. Then game by game, I'll set it up, look at the records, they're against the spread numbers, the trends, the injury updates, whatever it may be for every single game that will provide useful information for the spot that a viewer may want to know or need to know. So I do that for literally every single game and every sport we're going to cover. So today, for example, I guess when I started, probably takes about three hours to finish my rundown specifically. And it also depends if we're doing a unique segment like Prop Shelf we're going to plan to do for the show, which means I'm doing even more research on this other site that gives you more information on the specific players and who their opponents are, where they are weak defensively versus where a certain player is strong offensively. Then I like to search their props on the sports book and see who can be the most advantageous to your wallet potentially, and then look at their player logs, their past trends, all this kind of stuff. So it really differs from day to day and what season it is. I mean, NFL, college, a little bit more busy than it is now, but even still, it just really depends on a day-to-day basis. But nothing that, you know, consumes me till right before I got to get ready for the show. It's usually about like a few to 4 hour process is what I would say, which, you know, works out perfectly for me, because not only do I get that ready, then after that I work out the kinks with my producer or just pay attention to the line movements, the updated news, and able to tweak things, go back in there and fix it. So it's not like I'm just sitting here reading off the games. Time and effort goes into it. And, you know, like I say, I'm a perfectionist, so I'm making sure that it's up to par.
So people who watch you and listen to you have money on the line. When I broadcast, I didn't feel like the listeners, the viewers, the consumers had some money invested in what I was doing, although maybe tangentially they did. How do you react to, or how do the fans react to sometimes losing a buck or two? And do they try to take it out on you?
Not as much as you would think, but I think that also comes with more recognition, right? I'm definitely not at the top compared to our other hosts at the network in terms of, say, followers on Twitters. And, you know, if I'm going to have a losing pick, a lot of people don't necessarily throw shade unless you're on a big losing streak. I mean, I'll throw shade at myself. That's the thing. Like, I'm not going to hide away from it. I'm going to say it on air. Like, yeah, I flat out stink right now. Like, fade me at this point. Like, that'll happen. And you have to be willing to accept that in this industry, because the goal, if you're hitting 53% of your picks, that's the goal. That's breaking even, right? So anything over that is successful. Anything under that, quite the opposite. So most people understand that in the gambling community, so they're not going to give you too much grief unless you're just doing ridiculous picks and you're just overall very bad and never have been good. But like football, we did very, very well. We hit 58% on our show for the NFL, hockey, and we're about 14-9 right now. NBA a little bit less, like 26-23, but still, that's the thing. Like, I can have a bad week, I can have a bad month, but the goal is not to have a bad season or a bad year for the specific sport. And I've been fortunate enough to where that hasn't been the case since I've really been present on air. So that's the thing. Like, you can't just jump in and get mad if I go 0-2, because it's a process. You can't just dip your toe in one time. You got to fully go in and ride me the whole way throughout the season. And that's how we're going to be successful. And you don't have to do that, but that's kind of what I preach to other people. If I give them losers from time to time, it's mostly my friends who will give me crap, who will just ask for a pick. And I give them a loser like, oh dude, what are you talking about? You're a professional. You're supposed to know this. I was like, it's a process. You got to follow. You can't just, you know, pick and choose your spots randomly. But a lot of times then on Twitter too, you get more positive reinforcement, at least me personally, than I have negative, which is always great because people are celebrating with you. And that's the best feeling. I mean, it's the complete opposite, right? Like, you want people to also profit off of your endeavors. And conversely, when I have a loss, I take it probably more personally than anyone else, because I'm just so competitive and I hate the fact that other people are following me and potentially losing money off of it too. That's a risk that they know following me on it as well. But I think they trust me enough once I built that following to where they know I'm going to bounce back. And again, you just got to snap out of it, get ready for the next day. And that's the biggest thing. So I'm going to take it harder than anyone else's if I lose. I know I'm stinking if that comes to that period of time. But trust me, we're going to figure it out. We're going to get on a nice little hot streak. It's all about riding the wave the whole way through.
Well, there you go. There you go. Danny, it's been a pleasure chatting with you and learning a lot more than I knew about what you do and sports betting. So thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure on my end. Thanks for having me.
Danny Burke is the host of Rush Hour, 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time on the VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. And he also works for a bunch of other places for which I don't have the time or the list to tell you, but he's on radio and television and other things, and he's back home in Chicago, and I'm sure that's pretty awesome too. So thanks, Danny. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Danny's been with us on Watch the Media. I'm John Schrader. We come your way from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln in the College of Journalism and Mass Communications and the studios of 90.3 FM KRNU.